Good evening. Tonight, I'd like to address a number of questions that I frequently get asked when I tell someone that I'm a member of the Church of Christ that meets at Olson Park. Obviously, I do not have enough time to cover each topic in depth that it deserves, but my prayers are that the scriptures we read tonight will touch your heart and that you will seek to know more of God's will. We're going to look at some frequently asked questions. So who are we? We are Christians. We are just Christians, trying to recreate what Jesus established 20 centuries ago. If God was happy with that plan, we don't see any reason to improve it or any way to improve it. What we believe. We believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. It was revealed to mankind as a guide for all things that we have having to do with our lives and how we worship God. The Old Testament teaches us how God set apart a people unto himself in order to bring Jesus, the Christ and Savior of the world. The New Testament is the revealed new covenant of Jesus. It is the whole, complete, and final revelation of God and the pattern and guide for all things of this new age. Well, it's good that I tell you that, but it's not good enough. What I need to do for me to tell you what I believe. It's not good for me to tell you what I believe. Let's look at the scriptures that back up what I've just stated. If you would, turn with me to 2 Timothy and look at chapter 3. I've told you that I believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. So read with me, 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, for righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Next, let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll start in verse 2. Then I told you, it was revealed to mankind as a Bible for all things having to do with our lives and how we worship God. So let's look at the scripture that goes along with that. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, next I told you that the Old Testament teaches us how God set apart a people unto himself in order to bring Jesus, the Christ and Savior of the world. We see the scripture in Galatians 3. We'll start in verse 22 of Galatians 3. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring to us Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we no longer are under a tutor. Now, if you would turn with me to Jeremiah 31,
Old Testament.
We'll talk about the New Testament. I told you the New Testament is revealed, new covenant of Jesus. The prophet Jeremiah tells us in Jeremiah 31, beginning in verse 31, that, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their hearts, in their minds, and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God. And they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man teach his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, and I will remember no more. Now let's take a look at what else we believe. The final revelation of God. I told you that this is the whole, complete, and final revelation of God and the pattern and guide for all things. And we see this in Galatians 1 and starting in verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven preached another gospel to you than what we have preached, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say it again. If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Now, if you would, open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I also told you that we believe it is the Bible that reveals to us the joyous plan of the gospel of Jesus Christ, by which we can be saved from our sins and receive eternal life from God in the age to come. In 2 Timothy, starting in verse 3, or 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that the childhood and from childhood that you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now let's look at Acts 20 and verse 7. I got ahead of myself. Okay. In Acts 20 verse 7. Okay, also, another question that we have is, why do we take the Lord's Supper every week? Well, it's because Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till it comes. Another reason that we take the Lord's Supper every first day of the week is because it's a memorial for what he did to us. In Matthew 26, verse 26, it states, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Another example that we have is Acts 20 and verse 7. Acts 20 and verse 7, we see an example. Here the example is, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued the message until midnight. We see the examples of the disciples of Christ coming together on the first day of the week and breaking bread. And we see this in Paul also preaching. So there's our examples for that question. Another question that we typically get is, why are there no musical instruments in worship? We see this example in Ephesians 5 and verse 19. In Ephesians 5, verse 19, there's an example of speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We say there's no mention of instrumental music, just making melody in your heart, with your heart. And we are also told in Revelation 22:18 and 19, that, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add under him to plagues that are written in this book. And if the man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away this part of the book of life, and out of the holy city from the things that are written in the book of life." So we see in Ephesians that there's no mention of instruments. But we also see in Revelation that we're not to add anything to our worship. So we're not to add anything to the book and into the word. So if we add instruments to the music, that's adding against what God had said. Another good question is, what must I do to be saved? If you listen to Christian radio stations today, they'll tell you all about John 3:16, and we'll get you to pray the sinner's prayer. I'm here to tell you, friends, that the sinner's prayer is false teaching that prevents men from being saved. The earliest notion of sinner's prayer is less than 500 years old. It was formalized as a theology until it wasn't formalized as a theology until around the time of Billy Graham. If you prayed the sinner's prayer for salvation, you are still lost in your sins because it is not what God has said to do. What has God said to do? God tells us through the Apostle Paul that we must believe. In Romans 10:17, we must believe. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God, through the Apostle John, told us in John 3:16 that we must believe in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We are also told that we are to repent. We are also told that we need to repent of our sins and turn to God. Luke 13:3, "I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." We must also confess Jesus before men. Matthew 10:32 tells us, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven." We must be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Mark 16:16, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." And once you're baptized, we must remain faithful until death. Revelation 2:10 gives us this scene. "Do not fear for any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will be tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." Friends, tonight, let's do things God's way and not man's way. God's way is just and right and is ready to receive you if you will take that step and come and be baptized for the remission of your sins and have the hope for the gift of eternity in heaven. If you are a child of God that needs prayers of the congregation, we are ready to accept you. Please come forward as we stand and sing.